Welcome back, listeners, Siouxland Catholic Radio, to Faith in Action. It's a new show locally produced by Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. It airs every Monday at 9 a.m., replays every Saturday at 7 p.m. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member, and I'm your host for today's show. So glad you tuned in, or if you have been listening, thanks for staying with us. So with me in the studio is Amy Block. She is Executive Director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Sioux City. Talked a lot about, in the first segment, Catholic Charities and how it really serves Northwest Iowa, Northeast Nebraska, Southeast South Dakota, clear up to the Minnesota border, and then down there south, the 24 counties in Northwest Iowa, really.
Right.
Yep. And then in the last segment, we talked a lot about how the pandemic really changed the face of, well, for everybody, but also for Catholic Charities, the telehealth, and, you know, how people dealt with that and how the staff dealt with it. And during the break, Amy and I were talking about, you know, we sometimes think of people in the healthcare profession as having it all together. You know, we turn to them, and yet they are human beings just like the rest of us, and they need a chance to kind of share what they're going through. And there's services that you provide through Catholic Charities for individuals in other healthcare fields.
Right. During the kind of the pandemic, I talk like it's over, although we're hopefully getting more towards the end stages of it, but we provided free services for any healthcare professionals through telehealth, through face-to-face. But one of the services that we do provide, all of our staff, and this is in all of our offices, are trained in CISM, which is critical incident stress management, I think, debriefings. So when there is an incident, a traumatic incident with first responders. So maybe there's an incident where there's a horrible car accident. Maybe somebody dies and there's first responders on the scene. There is a debriefing held for any first responder who's interested. And then there's a team that's been trained in this approach that goes in to meet with them and facilitate that. So it maybe there's a firefighter who's not part of that incident, but a firefighter, there's a mental health professional, maybe a nurse, different people, and they go in and facilitate this debriefing. So our therapy staff are part of this group that goes in and does that. And it's a really important thing that happens so that people can really work through the trauma of that event. And then we also provide free mental health services for any first responder that was part of that. So that's something that we provide in all of the counties in Northwest Iowa. We've also gone into schools. Sometimes we've had, unfortunately, a student that has died or passed away and gone in and done those for students, for teachers in all of our communities. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, it's sad to talk about, but also I think it's really important that people are aware that we're here really to support them and really help people move past that. Because otherwise what can happen is people can become really stuck in those feelings. They need to know what are the warning signs if people are still really stuck in those events or having nightmares or flashbacks or things like that. How important it is to get help, or at what point does it become important to know that, maybe this isn't normal stages of witnessing a traumatic event or things like that. So that's another, important service, I think, that we are able to provide to the community at no cost.
Right. And so it is, again, an extension of all the mental health services you provide.
Correct.
And this is for other individuals and at no cost, which, again, speaks so much of, the faith-based element of Catholic
right.
Charities. But listeners, we have to talk about some happy stuff now. And I don't know, tens of thousands of adoptions. Am I over?
I don't know that you're exaggerating too much. No, I don't think so.
I mean, that's what Catholic Charities was known for, was placing babies in loving families. And we could spend literally the entire hour talking about that service because it was remarkable. But Amy, maybe you can tell the listeners some highlights of the adoption process at Catholic Charities.
Yes. So, I mean, as Joanne said, I mean, and that really is what Catholic Charities, for so many, I think still in the diocese, are what we're known for. And sometimes people say, oh, I didn't, you know, no, you did all these other things. And up until a few years ago, because we no longer place babies at Catholic Charities, we stopped doing that about 3 years ago. And that's really because we didn't have any women contacting us to place babies. More and more women are keeping children or they're going through private agencies for adoption. So we just didn't have babies to place anymore. So we stopped doing that. What we do have that continues, though, in regards to our adoption services are either birth parents or children who are placed for adoption contacting us looking for each other. And I am the one who is blessed who gets to do those searches. And so, you know, it's one of the most, you know, as a mom myself, I think about the women and the fathers who agree to it as well, who so selflessly gave those children, you know, up for adoption. And, you know, I think especially, you know, you think back to the 1920s, we have files. I think the earliest I saw was, you know, back 1910, 1920, files are like rice paper. When you open them, you're afraid to touch them, that they're going to, you know, your finger grease, you know, it sticks to it, that they're going to rip. But it's just an honor, you know, to be able to be a part of those. And I thought I would share a few of those with people today so that you really get a sense of what a gift that that adoption is. You know, so much, you know, we talk about pro-life and the gift of life. And I think it really speaks to that. And the first thing I wanted to share was a letter. And this is it's a non-identifying letter that I have permission to share. This was written by a birth mom when she placed her child for adoption. And this was written back, this would have been written back in 1940, that she wrote this to her child, that was in the record. I think it's well worth the time. So unless you cut me off, Joanne, but and I've changed the name. So it says, "Dear Mary, this is probably one of the hardest letters I've had to write. I just wanted to let you know the reason why I gave you up for adoption. And throughout my pregnancy with you, I felt you grow within me, but didn't really realize what a beautiful baby you were when I first saw you. As every day passed, I look forward to feel you kick or move. And sometimes when you didn't, I would try to move you so that you would. Even at that time, I thought it would be easy for me to give you up. Well, it isn't, but I think I did it for you or for your best interest. It's not that I don't love you or want you. God only knows how much I want you, so much that my heart aches every time I think about you or see another child. I gave you up for adoption because I don't feel I'm responsible enough to take care of you." When she gave this child up, she was 20 years old. "I feel like I need more emotional support for you because I don't know where my life right now is taking me. I don't think it'd be fair to you to put you in a situation like that and have you suffer from it. You're probably thinking right now that I could have received help to take care of you. It's true, but I want you to have the best of everything anyone could give. I want you to have nice things and have someone there to be able to give what you want. I tried to make the best decision as to what to do. I hope I picked a good and loving family for you. I know you might be feeling hurt or anger towards me right now, but I don't want you to feel that. I don't want you to feel that I didn't want or love you. You changed my life completely when the doctor laid you on my stomach after you were born. I loved you from that very moment. You were such a beautiful baby with lots of dark hair and chubby cheeks. I'm sure you've grown to be a beautiful young lady, and I'm always going to wonder what you look like. It's going to be hard for me when your birthday comes because I'm going to wonder what I have missed so far in your life. I'm going to miss seeing your first step, your first smile and laugh, the first time you say mommy, and all the way up to your first date. I'll never forget you, Mary. You will always be my first child. I wanted to see you after you were born because I wanted to see you one more time. I gave you some gifts that night. I hope you have a happy and full life because you're a special person to me and you deserve a good future with lots of rewards. And also I gave you a necklace that was mine for you to wear if you wish. Goodbye, Mary. I love you. So this letter was in a file when the child contacted us at Catholic Charities to find her birth mom. And I contacted the mom who wrote this letter, who was thrilled that she wanted to be found. They wrote letters and exchanged them back and forth and actually met and had a wonderful reunion and continue to have a wonderful reunion to this day. I also just finished doing an adoption reunion. I was contacted by a sister who had found out that the birth mom had passed away, and she wanted to find out if she had any siblings. And in fact, the birth mom had passed away. In doing a search, I found that the other child the mom had placed for adoption had also contacted us a while back. They have since reconnected, and they just met not too long ago with two other brothers. And the last one I wanted to share with you was a 50-year-old man contacted us to find his birth mom, and initially said, you know, I just want to find health information, which is not uncommon that people say that. It's a way to keep safe because, you know, wanting to put up that wall, what if, you know, the birth mom doesn't want me? There's always that fear that comes in. And in doing the search, kind of the long story short, in connecting, after they had met, I always follow up and we stay in touch. And the one thing he said is, to me, he said, Amy, we have the same hands. We have the same hands. And he said, I can never tell you what piece of my heart that filled. And he said, my mom's always my mom, but this fixed a piece of my heart.
We have to take a break now because we're all in tears, listeners, because that was absolutely beautiful. And that is the joy and the wonderful things that Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Sioux City provides for clients and other folk. So we are going to take a little break here from Faith in Action, but stay tuned because we will be right back.